Good morning to most, good afternoon to others, and good evening to our viewing audience across the pond. My name is Jason Miles, and welcome to another episode of this, the Revolution Podcast. You guys have already started in on us. We weren't even that tardy to the party. See, new names in the chat saying, LOL, they're always late, for real, it's fucked up.
We're coming for you, nigga.
I feel like that was racist. If you are new to the channel, welcome. If you're a returning subscriber or viewer, fuck yeah, welcome back. It's gonna be a fun show. I want to send a big fat ass birthday shout out to someone we haven't seen on the show in a while because they're so busy touring globally. Happy birthday to Napoleon the Legend. Fuck yeah. Had a very big birthday today. All of us here at TIR would like to send a big thank you to all the subscribers on all platforms. Without you, we couldn't do this. For those that don't know, this is the Saturday free show. There's no bonus champagne room. It's our way of allowing you guys to get a glimpse of what goes on beyond the velvet rope of the TIR VIP. We had another great week of shows, kicking off with Tyler Harper discussing his article on polyamory and more. If you haven't checked it, please do. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say. I'm so confident that you'll say something about polyamory on the comment section of this show without even watching that show. But you're going to have so much to say. So don't do that. Leave a comment on that show. Watch that show. Be different. Watch the show before you comment. Don't be a little title comment reader person. Those are the worst people. Oftentimes, we're just throwing titles out there, guys. And they don't mean that much to us. And then you guys just comment on the title. Like, we can tell in the way you write the comments. Gene Bajlan, actually, the other day, went off on the comments. So, unless you want to get into a comment fight with Mean Gene Bajlan, just watch the show. I was able to reschedule the 1978 music show with Conan Neutron. That'll be going on in the next couple weeks. Thursday, Pascal and I spoke with Dr. Todd Cronin and discussed Fanon. A great talk. And then Todd and MT joined us in the champagne room, where we watched maybe the highest conversation I've ever witnessed. It's saying a lot because I spent years in the music industry. We watched Joe Rogan and Cat Williams talk about pyramids and ancient Wi-Fi. It was beyond a head scratcher and a very good time. Speaking of M. Toussaint, let's bring in the voice of reason on this show. Hopefully, she will be a voice of reason on this particular episode. Please welcome M. Toussaint.
Hello, hello. Good to see you, Jason. Up dog.
Yep.
You're not supposed to say that.
I know.
Jerk face.
Have you been watching What We Do in the Shadows? Is that why you did that?
No, I have a friend who does that all the time, and we all just say up dog to him instead of, you know.
Gene says it's time for dick dash. I think that's what he calls his penis when he puts it away.
Wow. Wow.
That's what it sounds like to me, a dick dash. What do you think when you hear dick dash?
I do hear DoorDash, and I do hear a business plan that could work. Especially if he brings food.
If that's all it took, I would totally be a driver for Dick Dash. I would totally be a Dick Dash driver. Well, you can turn me down if you like, but who's going to eat all this pizza?
Exactly.
Are we addicted to dating apps? Tinder, Hinge, Grindr, and more. Apps designed to help us find a mate. There was a time when people were reluctant to admit that they met their significant other on a dating app or site. Now it's commonplace, but how is that affecting the people using the apps? Dating apps, like all apps, are designed to keep the user engaged, wanting more and more. Swiping to find a match is no different than the endless scrolling on sites like Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You get the point. The slot machine of love isn't bringing us closer together, but actually keeping us isolated. We are alone scrolling through faces, sometimes so fast we pass people that we actually find attractive or interesting. Even when a match does happen for many people, that doesn't even stop the swiping. Much like a real slot machine, unless you hit the mega jackpot, you keep pulling that one arm bandit until you hit big money or until the money runs out. Usually it's the latter that gets one to move on in gambling. There is currently a class action lawsuit against the Match Company, the parent company that owns sites like Tinder and Hinge. The suit is charging the company with creating an atmosphere that addicts its subject to the app. The claimants in the lawsuit believe that the last thing that Tinder wants is you off the app. Here's a quote from an article on the lawsuit in the San Francisco Standard. Match's business model depends on generating returns through the monopolization of users' attention, and Match has guaranteed its market success by fomenting dating app addiction that drives expensive subscriptions and perpetual use, the lawsuit says. It was filed by 6 dating app users and seeks class action status. In a statement Thursday, a spokesperson for Match called the lawsuit ridiculous, saying it has, quote, zero merit. Our business model is not based on advertising or engagement metrics, a spokesperson said. We actively strive to get people on dates every day and off our apps. Anyone who states anything else doesn't understand the purpose and mission of our entire industry. Someone says, are we calling women slot machines now? Well, Jeremy, I didn't say women. So that's a you thing. It's not a me thing. Match's apps, according to the lawsuit against the company, employs recognized dopamine manipulating product features to turn users into gamblers locked in a search for psychological rewards that Match makes elusive on purpose. Due to the purposely manipulative and addictive platform design, no waking hour is safe from the allure of the platforms, as underscored by users' incessant need to keep swiping, the complaint states. In 2024, using dating apps to meet people might be the preferred method, but is it really? I wasn't planning on doing this when I put the show together, but the phone lines will be open today. Because I want to hear your dating stories. I want to hear what you people have to say about using dating apps. Do you like them? Do you miss the days of awkwardly walking up to someone with sweaty palms? I want to know. Toussaint, do you prefer dating apps?
No, actually. I prefer to pimp my podcast.
That's how you do it.
Yep. You know, I want to hit podcast.
Well, it looks like Pascal Robert is here, but he has no picture. Should we bring him in with no picture, and then it could be two Haitians with no picture?
Ooh, can the world handle that?
Can the world handle two Haitians? Please welcome the Pascal Robert.
Peace and grace.
You have no picture, Pascal. Just letting you know.
It's weird. I don't know why. I tried to sign on. It would not just give me video.
Well, you two talk amongst yourselves while I turn on the phone lines.
What's going on, M. Toussaint?
Not much. Not much. Talking about dating apps.
Dating apps, yeah, not a world that I'm very much fond of.
Is it a world that you're experienced in?
Not a lot of experience in either. Just kind of, I don't know. Who likes them?
Somebody likes them. They're very popular.
They are doing very popular. Capitalism.
I don't have questions. Go ahead.
Someone was talking about how capitalism structures our geography. That's a very important part.
That's true. That's a good point. It definitely affects who you can match with.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, without a doubt. So we're going to have phone lines on today for sure.
This should be interesting.
I'm back. Thank you guys for being the two most boring motherfuckers ever assembled on the planet to have to shave space for 5 minutes. Jesus fucking Christ. Can you read a phone book next time?
We'll do.
I think we can all agree that these dating apps aren't designed for you to meet a match and log off. I can say from experience. If you meet someone in person and it doesn't feel perfect, you can move on to someone else. You may even be scheduling multiple dates in a week or a day even. Do these apps help in creating the idea of people being disposable?
I think that's a very important point.
What do you think?
I think that the possibility of turning people into this recyclable little screen gibbets that you can just move on by and just hold on to if you like, it definitely turns people into a recyclable little item sort of operation, like a little video game called chips.
That's the way it feels. Toussaint, you've had a little bit of experience on dating apps, right? In the early days?
Nope. In the early days, no.
Yeah. Never.
Never. Not once.
You never were on, what was it, Plenty of Fish?
Plenty of Fish. That's the Catholic one?
I don't know. Is that a Catholic one?
That's a Catholic one, I think.
I think we're making up lies right now. What was the other one? Match.com.
They used to have one for the left.
Jesus Christ, what was it called?
I forget, but can you imagine the torture that that would have been?
Oh, God.
It was called Jacobin.
It was called a DSA meeting?
Yeah.
But seriously, Toussaint, do you think that these things help make people feel disposable?
They have to. I mean, in a simple swipe, you're gone. Mm-hmm. There's no way to not feel disposable. And you know when you haven't been swiped on.
How do you know?
You're not getting matches.
What if it's just an accident? What if they haven't seen me yet?
Yeah. It's been months. And you're not getting matched up.
Well, what do you think that does to people that don't get matches?
What happens to the people that don't get matches? Mm-hmm. They probably pay more. Spend more time on the app.
So there are definitely features on the app so you can be seen more. I think they all do it where there's a thing where it's like, hey, are you not getting matches? Well, if you pay so much money, we'll make you a featured profile and, you know, do the speed round and you'll just show up in everybody's thing. And then eventually someone will say, fuck it, take a chance. I could have been hurting myself by having my profile picture be Pee Wee Herman and Clarence Thomas with a caption that said, this could be us.
It all sounds so contrived, man. I mean, it just takes away from the organic nature, the simple, like, you know, like, hey, you know, would you like to go out and have dinner sometime?
Do you think that these apps kind of destroy that ability to just walk up to someone and have a conversation and possibly ask someone out on a date? Because it seems so strange now.
I think that the notion of actually being able to do that becomes so obsolete in the way that we have to situate in society today. That everything is reduced to a digital platform.
I mean, the way we get our news, to the way we order our food, to the way we travel, everything is with our phones and via an app. So why wouldn't meeting someone be that way as well? Is that a bad thing?
I mean, it doesn't have to be a bad thing per se. It's just that what I'm saying is that all the nature of human reality is being reduced to digital currency of the phone. That's going to have a consequence to society at some time. And I don't think that that's the normal way in which human beings are designed to function. Or are we saying that there is no normal way human beings are designed to function?
Toussaint?
What was the question again?
Moving on. There's much less.
I'm still thinking about what Pascal was saying.
Just asking the question if this is just the natural maturation process. We do everything on our phones, from order our groceries, travel, commute to work. Everything is, you know, we do through our phones, right? We get a ride to work via an Uber, or to school via Uber. We order food through DoorDash or Uber Eats.
Well, I think natural is an interesting choice of word. Yeah, we are doing everything through our phones. Why not order up a date?
Order up a date? Is that really what we're doing?
I mean, what's the? I asked that question because if I got off the apps for a reason. I mean, as Pascal said, I'll be totally transparent. And the reason was it felt like I was ordering up a date. And it didn't feel cool. And I didn't like a lot of the interactions that I was having because it felt like it's a game for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to find people to put into your box of wants, your checklist of wants, especially when you get into a certain age group. I can't speak for younger people. I can only speak for people in their 40s and up. We aren't a dating app in your 40s and up. That's a real different ball game because we're all coming to the table with a certain amount of quote unquote package. Throw in there that a lot of people are, you know, addicted to therapy language. Right? Ugh. So everything is trauma, you know, everything is triggering. So you're constantly trying to tiptoe around landmines. It's a job interview. And everyone lies at the job interview. And do you really want to go on a job interview to find a mate? At that point, that's just a business arrangement. And I don't know. I'm just not the biggest fan of trying to fuck my business arrangement.
So, in the end, does it always come down to a business arrangement, comrade?
No.
Doesn't a relationship end up becoming a contractual kind of relationship at some point?
No.
The marriage?
I mean, if you get married, but I don't know if it has to be that. I don't think so. That's just me personally. I've had good relationships where it was just two people together doing their thing, and it really wasn't about, you know, quid pro quo. Dating apps, in my opinion, kind of put that front and center. This is me and my wonderful life. Everybody has to have a wonderful life. There's never like someone in their PJs.
Frumpy recluse.
There's no frumpy recluses, you know, with a picture of them thumbing around on their phone. You know, it's always some woman on a mountain. There was a phase where every woman I saw was petting a fucking tiger, petting a tiger on a mountain while doing yoga. Everybody was having such their best life that I felt like, well, it looks like you're doing amazing. There's nothing I can add to this.
And do you remember what I told you when you told me that?
I do, but I want you to say what you said. I do remember. Actually, it stays in my head.
Yeah. They're all lying. Mm-hmm. They're all lying. They have photo shoots specifically designed for getting photos to populate your profile. And they're all supposed to look like you're having a fantastic life. That's why so many of them look the same. They're going to the same services to get the same photos.
I mean, fantastic life.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, the only picture I got is like me.
I mean, I can only imagine what it says that you have to get studio glam shots for your team.
I mean, do you guys remember video dating?
No.
Pascal, do you remember video dating?
Video dating? What was video dating?
I would say it's akin to, do you remember the show Love Connection? We'll be back in 2 and 2. No? I'm the only one that watched Love Connection, just me and Grandma?
Yes.
I remember Love Connection.
Pascal said, yes, it's only you. Only you and Gladys Davis watched Chuck Woolery in Love Connection. So imagine something like Love Connection, where there's videos that people, you know, hi, my name is Jason, and I like crazy loud music and horror movies and apparently Haitians, and you should go on a date. And you have a video like that, and then you watch all these videos, and you pick someone from the video. You don't remember that? Pascal?
I'm trying to remember when that was actually a thing.
In the 80s, you were too busy at your fraternity doing
step shows,
doing step shows and living the school days movie in real life.
I was.
Wake up!
Oh, I was. That's interesting. I don't think I remember that. But in the 80s, why would you have been doing that in the 80s? Wouldn't have you been more kind of like fixated on your monogamous relationships?
In the 80s?
No, you were younger in the 80s.
I was, but I was still around. There was some Vita Loca going on all around me. Definitely wasn't monogamy. I think it was just part of technology at the time. There's this new video technology, and it's like, hey, look, instead of going to a bar, you can just go to this service, and you can see videos of women. Or men.
Or men.
Yano says Jason is Mandela affecting himself. There was never
video. Maybe.
You know what's funny? I found clips of old video dating. We would call them ads, profiles. And I was going to play them in the champagne room, and I totally. We found other things to, you know, talk shit about, and not that, but yes. Do you see what Kushluk wrote? Yes, Pascal, video dating is also where you could meet your mail order partner. There is much isolation when it comes to searching for connections on these dating apps. Maybe we're just getting out of a bad relationship or just tired of being alone, but that makes the user vulnerable to the gamification of swiping. You swipe and match alone. I knew a woman that said she just liked hearing the sound of the notification.
God.
That when she matched, she didn't even care about beginning a conversation. What does that say about the efficacy of these things?
It sounds very sad what she said. She just liked the sound of the notification.
Yep.
That literally sounds like being addicted to a video game.
Yeah. And they know what kind of sound to choose. A nice little happy sound.
It's really just very... While Gene Rogers on suggestion, we'll take a Vietnamese or get a little down.
That is not true at all.
She's got to be Filipina.
That's not true either. That's just a coincidence.
Oh, listen, brother. Listen. One is a coincidence. Every what? One of your baby mamas.
I only have two. You act like I have seven.
You have multiple babies with them.
I have multiple babies with my first wife. And I have a child from Tinder.
Tinder baby.
Brother, is that Filipinas, man? You be working on Filipinas, man.
Jesus Christ. You act like I got a whole bunch, like they're just coming out from under the bed or some shit.
You have 27 children.
You guys aren't answering the question that I asked.
What's the question?
Jesus Christ. What are you? Are you on a dating app right now?
I'm thinking about your 27 children.
He doesn't have
them. I don't.
All their names begin with J.
All their names begin with J. Or they have J in them. Strategically.
There we go.
Phoenix's name is hyphenated. I said, I'll repeat the question again. You make this really hard to cut clips. I just want you to know that today, too. There are features in these apps that are literal. Oh, sorry. That was the second question. There's much isolation when it comes to searching for connections on these apps. Maybe we're just getting out of a bad relationship or just tired of being alone. That makes the user vulnerable to the gamification of swiping. You swipe and match alone. And that's when I said I knew a woman, blah, blah, blah. What does that say about the efficacy of these things?
Yeah, as I said, they know what they're doing. I have... a visual. Maybe now's a good time to get into it.
Okay.
It's not really a visual. It's like a visual of text.
Are you looking at it? Whoa!
There we are.
Look at you, next level.
So, work done by 20th century psychologist B.F. Skinner, Skull argues, explains another piece of the puzzle. He developed the Skinner box, in which rats or pigeons could access pellets of food by pressing levers. What he discovered was that animals would be most persistent with the levers when the rewards were unpredictable. If you knew that you could peck 10 times and get a pellet, you'd do that when you were hungry and then stop. But if you never know what's coming, you never know when, you will stay there pecking. On dating apps, your perfect partner might appear on your next swipe or your 10th swipe or your 47th. And that makes it harder to stop looking.
That was in one of those articles. That was standard. Good. Yeah, the standard article really kind of hit me. How did you feel when you read that one, Toussaint?
You know, I've been caught in the Skinner box before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been stuck playing a video game when I'm supposed to meet with friends. Mm-hmm. It's really very sad. But you just want to get through it and you're just about to win. You're so close, man. You're so close.
Look, the phone lines are open, 510-319-1899, 510-319-1899. I want to hear your guys' experience with these dating apps. I mean, I have too many dating app stories to tell that Toussaint doesn't want to hear anymore. Definitely Pascal doesn't want to hear anymore.
To me, it sounded like they were so bad that you just literally just all in all gave up the enterprise and it was like, this is just...
Yeah. There was one person that I had met via one of the apps, and we went on a date, and the date went great. And then, you know, we stayed talking on the phone, and we went on other dates, and she had a son that was older, and I met the son, and me and the son hella hit it off. Then they came down for Thanksgiving one year. And it was like really cool. And then ghosted. It's out of nowhere.
That's sad. Ghosting is another phenomenon that it seems the apps help to facilitate. Sure, it happened before the apps, but certainly seem to increase afterwards. These connections are like so tenuous, I guess. Doesn't matter if you leave. We both grown here. We both know what you did on the date. I don't need to explain. I'm out of here.
Damn.
It's a cold world.
That you want to do right. Oh, happiness.
And there's no rhyme or reason, right? And do you want someone to call you and tell you? I don't know what's worse. No.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, just fucking leave.
Yeah.
I don't need a HR review. I don't need my quarterly review of why I suck on your way out. It's like the beginning of that movie Better Off Dead, you know, when Beth leaves Lane Meyer, John Cusack's character. You know, he's got a better car. He's more popular. Nicer hair.
Kushluk is calling in.
What? I don't see a call in the thing.
We need Vancor to call in. Vancor met his girlfriend through an app, and they've been together for 3 years.
My drummer Alex met his girlfriend on Tinder, and they've been together for 8 years.
Look at that.
I mean, I think they work to a certain extent, but that's not the that's the bug, I think.
The exception to the rule.
The exception to the rule. It's not the design. You know, once you meet someone, you're like, oh shit, I can meet more people? There's got to be somebody better than this guy.
Well, the apps sometimes serve you up subpar matches. In order to keep you on the app.
So I was a subpar match.
You having an unnatural elite.
All of them.
That's rough. And that's the thing. You don't know if you're the subpar match.
Right.
You don't know if you're the subpar match or if you were the premium match. You want to believe you were the premium match, but you're like, oh, am I the rebound match?
I was just watching a clip of Chad Ochocinco, your doppelganger, in Mexico, talking to Shannon Sharp. And Ochocinco was saying that his mother taught him that you were always the subpar match. There's always another guy that she's still thinking about in the back of her head that's better than you.
I had a friend tell me that too.
I had a friend tell me that.
He goes, look, man, you know, you're not number one. Don't ever think you're number one. You know, when her eyes are closed and she's coming all over the place and she ain't thinking about you, brother. I was like, man, that's dark. I'm going to go cut myself just to feel.
Well, Ocho Cinco's mom said that the problem is the first guy wouldn't act right. And that's how we ended up with you, the subpar match. If the first guy acted right, then she'd be with him.
I don't know if that's everybody's thing, right?
That's not everybody's thing.
But that definitely is. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people.
That assumes that there's a lot of women out there who like abusive men.
It does.
I think I said this. I don't know if I said this on the main show, but I was talking about dating with my neighbors, the people that live in the house next door. And they're a slightly older white couple. And my neighbor goes, oh, man, she left you for the BBD, huh? I was like, I'm sorry. The BBD. I just kept staring at him like, what? The bigger, better deal.
You thought she was describing a different type of BBD.
Totally different BBD.
Because he was like trying to be like, hey man, I had an ex, she left me for the BBD. And I was like, you shouldn't be saying this in public. Just save this shit for your therapy session. That's still the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. There are features in these apps that are literal games, and these are paid features, much like video games now where everything costs extra if you want the quote, full experience. The same can be said of Tinder and Hinge. If you want to be seen by more people, you can pay for that. If you want to see the hot people, you can pay for that as well. But if you're swiping endlessly with no matches, you're going to feel more desperate and be willing to pay more money to, quote, get out there and meet people. Does this dynamic add some merit to the class action lawsuit against Match Company?
Yes. They're keeping the hot people from you and making you pay for them? Come on. That's just so manipulative. They want your money. They want your time on that app.
And you know they design your hot people by what you swipe on. Did you know that?
Is that right? They're your specific hot people, yep. Not just like LA hot people.
I mean, I feel like LA hot people are everybody's specific hot person.
You have a very funny relationship with LA hot people.
In what way?
You had mentioned going to LA when you were young,
uh-huh.
Like with your mom or something. And I remember when I was a kid coming from Queens, mm-hmm. going to Manhattan when I was young with my mom. But it wasn't like, we're going to this island where all the hot people are. It's a super weird thing to have a place like that.
I wasn't with my mom. My mom gave me permission to go because I wasn't 18 yet. Mm-hmm. And a producer that we were working with at the time wanted me to go, that I was doing like assistant stuff for, mm-hmm. wanted me to go with him and this drug dealer dude he was producing music for. Basically for a weird delivery in Hollywood, back when Hollywood was like gross, and I got a lot of time to myself, and I just walked around Hollywood and stumbled into a strip club that they let me in, And I did meet. I met a young lady that worked there, and we hung out for the few days that I was there. So I don't know. LA is just where all the beautiful people are. Beautiful people are everywhere. Beautiful people are fucking giving you your McDonald's. They're parking your car. They're taking your dry cleaning.
Yeah, that's just weird.
They're busting your table. They're handing you a script while they bust it. They're just everywhere. Everywhere. If you're the hottest person in your funky ass little town, I said I'm the same person. You go to LA.
That's weird.
Pascal, you've been to LA, haven't you?
I have never been to LA. I've been to the Bay Area.
Yeah, but the Bay is. And I love the Bay. I love the Bay. There's gorgeous people in the Bay. My kids are in the Bay. I think they're gorgeous. But LA, it's a whole different beast. You want to feel ugly? Just go walk around LA. Go.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Dusty said, I stumbled on this rock and rock in the street and ended up falling inside the street. That's never happened to you. It's just me. So I'm the only guy that goes into strip clubs and watches Love Connection with his grandma, huh?
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Someone says, how much is LA hotness is plastic surgery? I mean, that's plastic surgery's anywhere. You can go to Jersey and see a shit ton of plastic surgery. I was in Westminster.
Jersey. You know it's confusing LA with New Jersey with being hot.
You can go to Westminster County and see.
Westchester.
It's all the Westminster dog show in Westminster County.
It's all a dog show.
It's all a dog show. I wish I could like show you guys, like walk around with the camera and be like, see, I'm not lying. It's just where people go to be famous. So you're going to have ridiculous amounts of hot people and then they mate.
Weird.
If you want to go be important, you go to New York.
Now, when I was in New York in the 80s and 90s, there were a particularly large amount of attractive women in New York.
There's attractive women in New York.
There are attractive women in New York.
I saw quite a few at the live show.
Woo.
That's how I knew we made it as a podcast.
Hot women at the live show.
There's women at the live show. We made it.
That's when I canceled the dating
app. No, just kidding. That's not true. They're a Westminster
That needs to be the new joke. He's a Westminster 7.5.
He's a Westminster. Hey baby, will you subscribe to my Patreon?
That would be funny if you went on dating apps just to get viewers for TI.
That would be dirty.
That would be
awesome. So one thing I did find is I would see in women's dating apps, the first thing they would say, this was a few years ago when I was on them, they would say, I'm not into crypto.
No.
So I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Because there's so many crypto, just like people are like stalking on crypto on the internet, man. It's ridiculous.
It was bots, dude. Pascal, it was like bots.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. No. It was dudes that they had the profile. The chick, woman would click on the profile and you get crypto messages.
There are a lot of crypto bots. There were a lot of crypto bots.
Janos says half of the accounts are bots promoting on OnlyFans anyways. Janos, you are a lot younger than me, so maybe your demographic is an OnlyFans demographic. There was no OnlyFans models in my 40 and up searches. Mm. I'm not saying they don't exist. They just weren't there. Things could be different now.
Fair enough. We have some calls.
Oh, I want to hear some good stories. Here's some drama. Do you want to push one through, Toussaint?
I want to hear some drama.
I want to hear some drama. Let's jerk some tears. That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. Calling from an 801 area code. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Gael Huggins, and I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Welcome. So tell us your dating app story.
Thanks so much. Well, thanks. I love the show. Subscribe to the Patreon. So love to hear all of the nonsense on the Champagne Room as well. But I wanted to call in because dating apps are just exhausting. I think so. I've coming out of a relationship for like 15 years, and I'm 35 now. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting to, I mean, I'm in a new relationship now, but I had a brief period where I was going through a little bit of a hoe phase, you know? And so what we were doing is just trying to figure out what I wanted, which is fine. And I think it's about like making sure you understand why folks are on there. It's just people are just exhausting. Dudes can just, and women for that matter, but just can be exhausting. Specifically, you go on a date. Trying to get on the date and like swiping through is very much a game. Like I didn't have it. You guys talk about the pings. It is very interesting because every time I look at my phone, I'm like, oh shit, I do have more people interested in me. And so it is very like, it is like playing a video game. Whenever you get to the next level, or if you're like feeling particularly lonely one evening, you're just like, well, maybe I'll pay the additional $4.99 to see who's available to hit up between these hours. For me, I've had weird folks, like one guy who's about 30 minutes out from San Antonio was like, yeah, I'll meet you, let's go to breakfast. Like was very, like seemed to be very interested in, you know, he wanted to like do the whole thing, get breakfast, you know, maybe go to the river walk, have a good time. And then the morning came and I got up and I was like, you know what, let's try it. Why not? He called me. He's like, no, actually my battery died. And so I won't be able to make it out. I'm like, all right. Well, you know, things happen. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's reschedule. So he reschedules. Like he's the one who's going in to like tell me what he wants to do, set up the date. About a week later, same thing. He had an issue come up with his kids. I have kids as well. So I'm like, all right, I'll be understanding. But I feel like people just can't be upfront about what they want, which is just exhausting. I think that's the most infuriating part of the dating app.
Do you think that guy was married and he kept getting caught? Like he's like, oh no, I can't do it because now my wife just threw something on me. Do you think that's what it was?
I mean, potentially, but there was a dude when I first started, when I got on the app, like I think a lot of folks, I just got out of a relationship. So like to be fully transparent, I had not like been sexually active for like a little over a year. Mm-hmm. And so we'd be having conversations with folks and they'd be like, oh, it was almost like they wanted to pop like my cherry, my newly divorced cherry.
Oh,
that's like how people described it. Yeah, it was very interesting. And then, there was one guy that I did meet that he was very upfront. He was like, well, I actually am in a relationship. I'm married, but we're in an open relationship. And so like me and my wife play, or we like just find folks to like, you know, fool around with. And so he like was, he told me up front, he was like, I don't want a relationship. I'm happily married, but if you're down to fuck, I'm totally down. So I don't know. Some folks do that too. I don't know if that guy was married or not.
Did you fuck that guy though?
Some guys. I did fuck that guy. I'm being
100% honest. And you know what?
It was.
But, well.
I don't know. It was a good time. Okay. I mean, it was a good time. And then he hit me up afterwards and was like, you want to do it again? And I'm like, no. Like, you know, then at that point I was like, well, am I really being that person? And like, is that just, like, maybe he is doing this and his wife doesn't know? And I was like, I don't want to get this. People are messy too, so you just gotta be careful. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm getting myself too messed up here. I'm gonna back off a little bit. So
that could have been a messy situation. See, these are the kind of calls that we need here. This is a great call.
Great call.
Thank you. Know, trying my darndest, but yeah, that's about it. But yeah, otherwise, I'm in a relationship now and it's going well. And let's see what happens. But if I were to have to go back on the apps again, I know mentally I'll have to prepare myself because it is a wild, wild world out there.
Well, just remember, San Antonio is not that far from Mexico.
Okay. Thanks for the call out. This is great. It's fantastic. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening. And also, I love listening to the show. I'm also a Haitian. And it's also very interesting dating here in San Antonio, which is a very heavily Latino population. Coming also from Utah, which is a very heavily white population. So those dynamics are also interesting on the dating apps too. Anyway.
That was so much to think about right there. You're a Haitian from Utah, now living in Texas.
That is correct. Absolutely.
Wow.
my parents like came to the United States in their 20s. They met in New York. I was born in Boston. My dad joined the LDS church, moved us all out to Utah when I was 5. And then I was there up until 5 years ago. So, and then I'm here. And the thing is too, I'm on the dating app because I work from home. I've been at my employer for 11 years. Mm-hmm. And so I moved out here and they were like, yeah, it's totally fine. You're doing well. I was like one of the first folks to move out here in 2019. Pandemic hit. And then I've just been home ever since. So like had to go, interesting enough, I get to go through a divorce during the pandemic, but I'm one of those folks. Ooh. And that was interesting. And we're here. So I think even outside of there's a conscious effort I have to make to also like get out and find like out where I can do things that are of my interest in the city so I can actually meet folks. But one of the first things I was like, well, you know what? I'm gonna get on the app because, you know, I'm horny and I just need a date and we're just need a fuck right now. So let's just go ahead and do that. And then here we are.
We appreciate your candor.
Say it again, Pascal.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Candor. We appreciate your candor here at the TIR.
He says he appreciates your candor.
Oh, well, yeah. There's nothing to hide. We're all here, you know?
No, there's nothing to hide. That's why I don't hide this.
Because I'm not queer.
That's my dating problem.
Wow. Wow.
I'm in control.
I am.
Okay, well. Well, thanks so much for having me on the call. I really do enjoy you guys' show. This is all really interesting to listen to because I did listen to the conversation the other day about like poly relationships and all of that. So that was also interesting too. So anyway, I'm gonna get off now because I actually go back inside and hang out with my kids. So
well, have a good Saturday. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Absolutely, thank you guys. Bye.
You guys say that women don't watch this show. There's no women in the champagne room. There's a woman in the champagne room. We're winning.
Fuck. That's who listens to the show, full of candor.
Look, we have to be honest about why we get on these apps sometimes and what happens when we go on these dates. I met a woman on a dating app once. I think it was like the one the last. Did I tell you about this, Toussaint?
I don't know.
She's probably the last person I had like met on an app before. I was like, this is war. I can't do this anymore. This is bad. She lived like right over the border. So she convinced me. Didn't take much convincing to go over to her place and just, you know, there was no like what's the word you young people use? Foreplay?
Foreplay? Not only the young people.
It was just not like, only the young people. Like I walked in the door and she like handed me a drink and I was like, oh, I don't drink. She goes, oh yeah, that's right. And then she just drank it.
Jeez. She drank her own Mickey.
Yeah.
She roofied herself.
She totally roofied herself. She roofied herself. So we did the thing. Did the thing, and then she just passed out. Just went to sleep. I hit her up like a week later and she goes, oh, I'm in rehab now. I was like, oh no. And she goes, yeah, I was doing real bad when I saw you. I was like, do you even remember my name? She goes, I have you saved in my phone as Mexico guy, so no, I do not know your name.
Mexico guy.
It's like, yikes. So, you know.
So we appreciate her candor.
I appreciate her candor. But all I could think was like, wow, I was your rock bottom. I was the moment you knew you had to get clean.
And that was the moment you knew you needed to get off the apps.
That was the moment I knew. I went to like church the next day.
She was your rock bottom too.
Oh my God. That's just like getting, who wants to be someone's like, oh yeah, once I fucked you, I knew I needed help.
I knew I needed help. I knew I had a problem.
I knew I had a problem the moment I fucked you.
He just to losers does not like you.
Tucson, you want to push another call through?
Yes, I do. The calls are stacking up. Calling from a 404 area code. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Alex, and I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta! What's going on, Alex?
And I'm calling about the fact that what?
No, I said, what's going on, Alex? So sorry.
Oh, I used to be on the online dating before dating apps like OkCupid, before smartphones were a thing. And I've gotten all of my partners through online dating / dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, online dating was great because at least with OkCupid, you could fill out all these questionnaires. You could compare answers with other people. You could really find out ahead of time how compatible you were. This is, you know, not if you're looking for a fuck, but if you're looking to actually have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been using the dating apps to find relationships as well. And it's just a whole nother world. It's so disposable,
mm-hmm.
Like we've been talking about. And there's so little granularity and so little visibility into what people are actually like. You don't know, you know, whether you want to see them at all. You've got to give everybody a chance if you can, but there's no real, how should I say, motivation, because the next person might be a better match or a, the one that you are currently interacting with may have, you know, secret problems or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different feel. You can't take your time to get to know someone and you can't ahead of time know that this person is worth taking your time with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put it out there, you know, from back in the day before dating apps, but still online.
Do you think that, because online had larger profiles that you had to fill out, whereas online dating, it's pretty quick. You don't even really need to have a profile. You could just say your name, where you're from, your pronouns, and go from there, because it's kind of like hot or not. Do you feel that the online sphere was a little more intricate?
It was. It was designed around more traditional dating, but happening online. Whereas almost all of these apps are designed around, you know, not necessarily just to have sex, but very lightweight relationships, we'll put it that way, where you don't have much stakes in it. There isn't much expectation coming out of it of either end. So it's very, like I said, it's very kind of demotivating and sparse, rather than the online sphere as was before.
Yeah, I remember those long profiles that you'd have to fill out as like pages. Now, not so much.
Yeah.
Do you feel a little more dejected with dating apps when you feel like you're swiping and not getting a quick response, or do you get quick responses?
Well, it's finding a match that's difficult because I'm swiping left the grand majority of the time.
Gotcha.
And then on the people that I swipe right with, there's, you know, a smaller chance that they're swiping right on me. So it's very much a case of there's few people that you match with and are talking to, but those relationship, those potential relationships are very low stakes and lightweight, like I've been saying. It is a very different and disheartening feeling. You don't fill out those large profiles. You don't fill out lots of questions. You're just trying to get to know someone off of, you know, a picture and a blurb.
There was something that we were reading. I sent the gang a bunch of articles, and Toussaint and I will probably put these articles in the chat so you guys can take a look at them yourself, about dating apps. And one of the things that it had said was that when you use these apps so much, you start to fill in your own blanks on a person's personality through what you're gathering in the internet. So, you know, they look at them. They're over here. It looks like they're at a protest, and they're probably a great person, and they have good politics. And, you know, I'm sure they wrote in Bernie Sanders' name and yada, yada, yada. do you find that happening to you ever now in the new dating app world, opposed to the website world?
I've gotten better about it, but yeah, there's just an innate desire to fill in the blanks. It's less projection, more, you know, trying to stitch together the other sides of this person from, you know, a few pictures they put. So my dating profile on these is really compressed. I just try to put as much information as possible. I encode like all of my hobbies as emoji. Like, they don't give you much space. I take as much advantage of that space as possible. And then I hear back very often that I have the most interesting profile people have seen. And I'm like, is that a good thing? the other people, you know, they're just putting in their blurb, you know, one, two sentences about small aspects of their life. It's not nearly enough. People are very much leaning on their pictures, which to me, I mean, I'm demisexual. That isn't going to help me worth a damn. I need to know how you actually are.
No, I feel you on that. I feel you on that, because the pictures only go so far. Toussaint, do you want to weigh in on that?
I just wanted to know, did you pay for features when you were on the apps?
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear that.
Did you pay for extra features when you were on the apps?
Did I pay for access when I was on the apps?
Did you pay for extra features when you were on the apps?
Extra features, I see. So on Bumble, I subscribed to them for a lifelong plan, whatever, because mm-hmm. I find it much easier for the women who having to say something first, mm-hmm. Both on their end, I think, and on mine, in that there's no pressure to have to break the ice awkwardly. Mm-hmm. But on all the others, when, you know, times are good and I have the income, I'll do whatever it takes take whatever feature set lets me see my likes mm-hmm. so that I can actually go through those people first and not have to go into the giant morass of swiping left.
Gotcha.
Makes sense.
Well, we've come a long way from websites, and apparently no one remembers video dating, so we've come a long way from video dating today.
I was never part of it, but I know what you're talking about, and that sounds incredibly awkward.
Thank you very much, Alex, for at least acknowledging that you know that video dating existed and not being like Pascal Robert, who was too busy, you know, just... We're not even going to get into what he was doing in college. We're not even going to talk about that.
I mean, pour your heart out to a camera with no one around and then send it out as a bottle into the ocean and hope that somebody gives a fuck. That's pretty bad.
Well, I believe Sting said it best. Sending out an SOS.
Yeah.
Sign your name.
Thank you very much for the call, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
Peace out.
Have a great afternoon.
That was a good call.
Yep.
I think we don't talk about the websites anymore, because websites were banking on the fact that you would get into a relationship. That was the proof in the pudding. Look how many people have gotten into relationships from our website.
Right.
Look at these testimonials. Do you really want to hear a Tinder testimonial?
Yeah. You know what used to be a way to meet people back in the day? Who remembers the website blackplanet.com?
You remember it.
You are Black Planet. Pascal.
You guys don't remember Black Planet?
I was married for a long time. Then I was in a relationship after that. So unlike you, Ho Fred Ho, I was, you know, committed, as much as y'all talk shit about
Black Planet was interesting. It was an interesting little way. It was kind of like social media before social media. It was interesting.
And what were you doing on there, Pascal?
I'm just saying, it was an interesting space to meet different. See, someone said, Tisa, I had a Black Planet page. It was, you know, there was it was obviously kind of more racially constrained. It wasn't as diverse. It
made you mad, huh? He was like, where the white hoes?
There was always
white hoes. White hoes.
Steve knows he had a Black Planet page.
Where the white hoes?
Steve is a baby.
Steve on Tinder talking about where the white hoes. I found a video, and I think it's pretty appropriate to play, speaking of Pascal's Black Planet page, so we can see how far white women have come. Did I send you that video, Toussaint?
I think you did. I just remember the one with the dude in the onesie showing his butt.
Is that going to be the new clip that we need to do? The dude in the onesie.
Dude in the onesie.
I'm gonna see if I can find this, because it's pretty right on. Oh fuck, I can't find it. But like, oh, I found it. You're in trouble.
Uh oh.
We are in
the champagne room now.
We are officially, it's champagne time, everybody. Just to let you guys know. We are over an hour. And this is what goes on in the champagne room.
Steve we said watch. He was, oh my God.
Pascal just said, oh my God. So here you go.
First, let's look at Sandy's skin tone. Most winters, like Sandy, have dark hair. Winters look great in clear, blue-based colors like royal blue, blue-red, and dramatic Sandy. Here's Sandy wearing autumn's lipstick color, Sandy. And here she is again.
Sandy's like 25. This is what a 25-year-old white woman looked like in 1984.
Wow.
And in her winter color of pink, you can see how much better Sandy looks in pink. Here's Sandy looking glamorous.
He's looking glamorous.
This is me impersonating Sandy. That's Sandy.
Sandy could have been a Creole woman from Louisiana.
Look at that. That's all he needed.
Sandy, she could have hashed. She could have. They are women as listen. Torrey got women that look like Sandy and his family. I guarantee you.
Dr. Claus says she looks old enough to pick a Ford Fairmont as her first car.
Jeez.
She could easily be a Louisiana Creole.
That's what you're gonna tell everybody. Pascal, who's that? Who's Pascal with that white? She's not white. That's Sandy. Sandy Devereaux.
That's Sandy. Sandy's in autumn.
Sandy. Leave Sandy Devereaux alone. I just want you to see Sandy one more time. Look at that. Look at that.
Doesn't she look wonderful? Creating a beautiful, natural Sandy is easy.
White women have come a long way from Sandy to the butt clap video.
Steve said Pascal's color struck. So untrue.
Strong says, my great grandmother passed for white. She married a Klansman. My great grandfather. Enjoy your meal.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Let's get to the rest of these calls. You want to push this one next? That's next right. One,
yep. It's loading. I don't have an area code. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Kushluck. I'm calling from New York.
Oh!
How did you do
I'm sorry
that?
If I speak over anybody, there's maybe a delay. I just first of all want to thank you guys, Jason, Pascal, and T. It's really amazing work, and I appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Thank that you. Means a lot. Kushluck, my friend, my comrade, how are you? How are you?
I'm just some guy. nothing like that. But yeah, I wanted to second that gentleman that called earlier about the website. That was basically what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. That like, just from my like very subjective perspective over time, a lot of the app stuff started as basically gay dating websites.
Really?
Before the straight one. Yeah.
Really?
There was dude. There was XY. There was gay.com. There was, what's the other one? Well, Craigslist.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those kind of websites early on because it was basically like a safety thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's still, you know, that's not something that's gone away. But I think that's what it started as. And also, you know, just an availability thing. I really, if you want to take it back, you mentioned video dating.
Mm-hmm.
In South America, there was even telephone, like gay telephone dating. It wasn't an app because you literally were calling a telephone, like a telephone bank.
Of just profiles. You could hear profiles.
you would like call in and you'd be like, press one, mm-hmm. you know, and listen to who is, you know, in your city, you know, wherever that is, Buenos Aires or wherever. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear all these profiles. So that existed. And I think that that over time evolved into what we saw today. But it's also, I would compare it a little bit, the evolution of it, mm-hmm. just again, my subjective, stupid opinion. It's a little bit like airlines.
Okay.
Where, you know, today you go to the airline, you want a bag that's $50. You want a glass of wine that's $7. You want this, it's $8, blah, 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 these little costs. But back then in the early apps, that didn't exist, you know. You just logged on, and maybe if you wanted an upgrade to, you know, see more pictures or something, you know, that was $10 or something, whatever, or whatever, 100 pesos, whatever the cost was. But it really followed the microtransactioning of airlines, maybe video games, a little similar, pay to win, that kind of thing. And it kind of started as a good thing in certain ways, because it was very much a safety kind of, because, you know, you could get beaten up, you know, you could get robbed. All those things happen. They happen to people I know.
That's scary.
So it's not like it is what it is. It's the world, and they still happen, you know. A while back, you guys, I think it was around the Christmas special. I didn't want to spoil anyone's fun, but I looked at the, you know, hate crime statistics from the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Really, not much has changed. It's the reporting has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, prejudice crimes against African Americans are still pretty high. It's real, you know. So, aside from those kind of things, it's unfun. I guess I'll tell you. Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say, is that there was like a real evolution of these things, and like these websites that were very free and kind of loosey-goosey into this really kind of very fake pay to win, pay to have a second picture, pay to see people who are, you know, 20 kilometers away, 10 miles away, pay to put a voice thing, pay. And I think the more the payment came in, the less the dating came in. There was like a inverse relationship, because I remember, like, Grindr now is awful. Grindr now wears the flayed skin of Grindr. That was, mm-hmm. you know, and it was always bad, but now it's very, I mean, it's almost unusable, you know. People complain about Elon Musk, you know, kind of shitting up X/Twitter.
Yeah.
It's 10 times worse than Grindr. You will send a message and then get a notification that you sent a message.
So it's clunky. So you're saying the app itself is clunky, but as far as meeting people, is it easier on Grindr? Is it worse now?
Worse. It's worse because you're locked into a tiny area unless you pay. You have to pay to get a larger thing, pay to have more. It is just pay out the ass. And I think it's like what? Depends on the country, but I think it's like $35 a month or something,
mm-hmm.
or $50 a month. It's a lot. So it's bad. And I wanted to compare that a little bit to, what was that other one? Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, I mean, I'm impolite to say, people fucked on Craigslist. They fucked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a mm-hmm. lot. Mm-hmm. And it was completely different to Grindr. You put a thing on Craigslist, you get a bunch of responses, and they were kind of like, you know, some of them were skeevy, some were good, some were bad, but it was free. First of all, it didn't have this pay to win aspect at all. It was over email. So there, you know, any photos, if you wanted to speak to someone, you put the phone number, and it was completely different to this kind of like, you know, Spirit Airlines type thing that's going on now.
that's a good analogy. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes you meet people who are rough. I mean, I remember one time I met a guy, you know, we had fun and was very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, he looks at me after, you know, and he had fun, I guess. And he goes, I haven't had a fuck that good since prison.
Yikes!
Oh my god.
Yikes!
Inside my head.
Yikes! Inside my head, I was like, oh my god. I hope you keep a 22 under the pillow for cases like that. That would have scared the shit out of me.
You know, keep control. You know, the only thing you control ultimately is your face and your expression. That's something I think I learned over a lifetime. So, you know, you have to appear, you know, aparentar. You have to look something. So that's a way to do it.
I would have been flattered.
So I guess I had one last fun question for you, Jason.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay. So you're talking about dating, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see that you meet the woman of your dreams.
Yep,
she's beautiful.
Sure.
Everything goes well. Mm-hmm. Fabulous meal, mm-hmm. you know? Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, God, I'm going to take you home. You know, this is, we're going to have fun times. You know, I'm really into music, the same kind of music you're into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, oh, wow, great.
Mm-hmm.
I love punk music. She's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm going to put on something. We're gonna, you know, you get on the bed, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she puts on Blink 182.
Oh!
Yeah.
You-
all the Fuck. Small things.
You know.
All
the small things.
All the small things. And then it's like fucking looks at my cock. Yeah, that's my thing of nightmares, Kush.
What's my name again? Oh, I see even worse.
Yeah, see, there's no good look. First of all, once the Blink 182 comes out of the Crosley record player, we know that we're in for some bullshit. But the better question to ask is, you know, is that worse than someone playing like some contemporary bullshit emo that you would hear at like a Starbucks compilation in their house? Like, yeah.
Would you feel, you know, it's some Philip Glass, you know, ultra modern classical?
Philip Glass.
let's think about Foucault and do it or something. I don't
God.
Know.
you know, I'm that shitty of a dude that I like go through people's books. And I should have known something was up when my son's mom had two Thomas Friedman books.
That's very smart.
Kush, I'll be totally honest with you. As Pascal says, I'll be completely transparent, and I want you to know that I appreciate you, and I thank you for calling. Like, I mean that seriously, and you know where I'm coming from.
Oh, that's you know, I can be a little fiery.
A little bit. But it's fine. It's fine. It's all love. It's all love.
It is what it is. And, you know, sometimes part of it is I don't want to feel like a liar. And I'll refuse to lie sometimes. You know, and it's not like I'm some kind of great person. You know, people say, oh, you're bad. Or, okay, I'm bad. You know, but tell me why I'm wrong.
If we're doing something on the show that's getting someone that passionate, then we're doing something right. That's how I look at it, first and foremost. And we need to have.
Well, I'm
going to
get off the line now.
Yeah, I'll give you my answer. Okay.
And like, you guys. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Get off the line. Get off the line. Kush, okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you. Stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Now you worried the shit out of me with that fucking story you told. But if someone was playing music that I was not a fan of, I would still fuck them.
You would stay.
I would totally still. Yes. Yes.
Even if they played the Beyonce country songs.
Texas Hold'em?
Texas Hold'em.
Only if I could chase it with some Patsy Cline.
Nope.
I love Patsy Cline. You know, dude, I've done some horrible shit in my life. I don't think that's that bad.
You mean you say you smashed in some questionable positions?
Oh, fuck yeah. Look at me. Look at everything I'm wearing right now. This outfit screams, look at that single guy.
Good Thanksgiving shirt.
Fall colors in spring.
Yep.
I like, seriously, I I don't know. I'll pass it on to anybody on the panel right now. Would you guys, if everything was going right and the person played music that you did not like, would that be a mood killer for you?
Not at all, man. I'd change the music in my mind.
Jack your body, Jack. In my head, Pascal just Jack body.
Let me ask you a question. How important is a person's politics when it comes to potential dating dates? That's a big question.
I don't give a shit.
It's hard for me to date people with shitty politics.
You know what sucks more to me than anything? If you're like a lib.
That's a lot of people, man.
I know. That nigga, I'm alone for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, you could be apolitical, and that's perfect. What do I do all day for a living?
Politics, baby.
Right? So I'm trying to, even if I'm not doing this show, I'm thinking about this show. I'm writing. I'm doing other projects that revolve around politics. The greatest thing in the world would be someone that was totally apolitical that was like, you know, hey, you want to fucking watch Halloween 3? Yep. Yep. Like, that sounds awesome. Yep. Hey, you just want to go for a walk around this beautiful area and just stare at the ocean and go, damn, this is awesome. Yep. I hella do. That sounds awesome. But, you know, do I want to have someone that goes, oh, did you hear? No. Yeah, I did hear. Your take sucks, okay? Your take fucking sucks. Who proposes? Is that Gene Bajlan? Is Gene Bajlan talking as This Is Revolution right now, Toussaint? Or is that you?
Is he? That's not me.
Okay, that's Gene. Gene proposes that I form a power couple with Amber Lee Frost. The internet would break if that happened for so many different reasons. None of them good.
And she'll marry Barry Weiss.
Can you imagine if I got with Barry Weiss and just overnight her politics changed? She like writes a whole opinion column on how she was wrong on this whole Zionism thing.
I'd be like, what did you do, Jason?
Like, get in the butt.
Check your body.
I gave her the Robert Jack. Check your body. That's the goal now, dude. How do I get with Barry Weiss?
God. Good luck with that.
What do I have a better chance of getting with Megan Thee Stallion or Barry Weiss?
Probably Megan Thee Stallion.
Damn. So you're saying she's that unattainable, or do you think she's that racist?
I think she's racist. Isn't she also a lesbian? That's a lot to go against.
Is she a lesbian, or are you just making shit up?
She's not even more enjoyable though.
She's a lesbian.
Like, who told you that?
She did.
When you were on your Jill Scott journey through New York, you ran into Barry Weiss.
That's right.
Living my life like it's golden. Living my... Oh, shit, it's Barry Weiss. Last tank, a long walk. The song. Getting in the way. Damn it, Barry Weiss. Just messed up her walk. Oh, Gene Bajlan says she had a baby with her wife. okay, so I can't. Someone says, is Breonna Joy Gray available? No. No. You guys aren't ready for that much blackness. Can you imagine me with Breonna Joy Gray?
Oh. Jason orders the Stallion and gets Lizzo.
Wait, can I get Lizzo?
Yeah.
I would, dude. That's one of the most talented women I've ever seen perform.
Yo, she got skills.
Yes.
You know who makes some good house music? What's the name of that sister who makes the good house music?
Cece Peniston?
The younger sister. She makes
light skinned chick?
Dark skinned sister.
I don't know. I think you're making shit up.
I do too.
No.
No.
I'm going to find her.
Tahir says he wouldn't be surprised if Megan was a low-key socialist. That would be a big surprise.
Yeah, she's very into capitalism.
Virtuoso says too much black excellence. To get with Breonna Joy Gray, the final villain, you have to fight Mark Lamont Hill.
Mm-hmm. Mark Lamont Hill, black excellence.
Can you imagine that duel? I can't go against Mark Lamont Hill.
No, you can't.
That's why he won't acknowledge that I exist. He's afraid of that battle. Just know that. I know you know I'm here, Mark Lamont Hill, you motherfucker.
He's got three damn names.
Jason plus Savvy Sabs.
Savvy Sabs is married.
Good.
Is she?
Good.
Yes, she is.
Steve said Mark Lamont Hill is 1 in 10,000 Negro. You Mark Lamont Hill is the Kobe Bryant of the black media world.
We do have one more caller.
Damn, y'all are just being mean.
Yes, Sabi Sabs has a non-Umar Johnson approved marriage.
Okay, we're going to push the last call through. I don't know what those Red Scare people look like. I've just heard stories about them, and Ben runs into them in L.A. I don't know anything about those people. I don't know if I could deal with all that goofy shit. That would be too much. What if Jason had a menage a trois with Crystal and
Kyle? Oh, damn.
Is Kyle sitting in the cuck chair like that dude in those videos?
Jeez. Sitting in the cuck chair.
You look fire, Crystal. Babe, you look fire, babe. This is total Crystal right here. Look at Crystal getting dicked down. Total Crystal.
I can't believe we've really gone into this trajectory on this show.
We can all be candid.
Spin around on him, Crystal. Spin around on him, Crystal. Let him hit it from the back. Oh, yeah. You're fire, Crystal.
My God. Caller. Calling from a 216 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What do you have for breakfast?
This is Dr. Cole. I am calling from Cleveland, Ohio. And I have not eaten breakfast this morning. So I have to probably get something to eat sometime later.
That's important.
Dr. Claw, what's happening?
Hey, man. I just want to call up and say that the caller, well, both Kushluk and the caller before Kushluk expressed a lot of what I wanted to say on this. You know, I briefly did the website version of this, and I was out like within a week or two because I was just like, yeah, this ain't. I don't really vibe with this. You know, first of all, I hate cameras. That's the reason why, you know, offline I got the Dr. Claw name, because you didn't see me as much as you heard me. I would duck cameras, didn't want to be in pictures, kind of deal. It was just kind of like when it wasn't. What was the word I want to say? When it wasn't required, I would not get in front of the camera. And it doesn't do my look. I don't really feel it. You know what I'm saying? And also, the other reason, and this is kind of a personal thing, most people's interest in me has to deal with something that I reveal to them or it's become tangible. Like, for example, it could be, you know, my hairstyle, what I'm wearing. So one example, I was in a bar in my hometown in Jamestown. And, you know, when I go back there, I go to the same bar and, you know, order the same thing, just kind of hang out, see what the...
Frozen. Jason? Pascal?
I'm here.
I think Jason is frozen, and we can no longer hear Dr. Claw.
What should we do? Should we wrap it up?
We can. Oh wow! Is Dr. Claw gone?
Everyone's gone, but you and me.
Oh, you know what? We need Jason in order to hear Dr. Claw.
Oh.
We can't do the call in without Jason. So Jason might be on his way back, trying to get back in with us now. Otherwise. Claw.
Jason's power went out. Yep.
We're sorry. I think we're going to end up wrapping up the show.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for joining us on this is Revolution Podcast discussion on dating apps, good or bad.
Good or bad. All right, let me get the outro music together. Yeah, his power went out. Big sorry to Dr. Claw. We apologize for that. And thank you for calling in. Thank you to all our callers for calling in. Make sure you like and subscribe. Become a patron. Becoming a patron actually means a whole lot to us. So we'd love it if you do that. $3 a month. That's all it is. All right. And we are
out. Thank you. Yes, y'all. What up?